Well, this morning it's an honor for me to welcome Reverend Ken Bombay to be our speaker. When we set out to plan our 100th anniversary, we decided we didn't want to do everything on one Sunday because there's only so much time you have. And so we intentionally set out to have some folks that we could possibly invite back, former staff, former pastors. We've had some pastors' kids. And this pastor's kid is much older than the last pastor's kid we had here. His dad, Reverend George, George Bombay, pastored this church, not this building, but this congregation over two terms for a total of 10 years, the church on Renfrew Street. And Ken is a pastor's kid from this church and married someone from the area. And he's in town this weekend for a family reunion of the Wagner family. And when I talked with him some time ago about the possibility of him coming to join us, it seemed to work out quite well for this weekend because he was going to be in the area for that celebration. So he has pastored for his entire career. He's been a pastor, minister of the gospel, served in Ontario as well as Alberta. Number of years, I'm not sure how many, First Assembly in Calgary, and now he's retired officially, but he's still serving the Lord and preaching in various places, and it's an honor for us to have him this morning. Give him a warm welcome to PPT. It's your brother.
I know I'm older than dirt. It's an honor for me to be here today. Thank you, Pastor, for inviting me. I left this church in 1956 to go to Bible College in Edmonton. And for me, this has always been home. So it's good to be home. It's good to see you in the house of the Lord. I really appreciated the time when we shook hands. We don't do that much in the church where I go anymore. Although our church is more like a holy hockey game. You're kind of quiet in here, but they don't shake hands. But I noticed when we shook hands, you were all smiling. And, you know, I preached in churches that looked like they've just had dental surgery. And I'm really happy to see the joy of the Lord in you and on your faces. And just want to thank God for all of the people in this church who have marked my life. And some of you, after all these years, still pray for me regularly. And I want to thank you for that too, because that's really important. But would you stand with me again? And just before I bring the message, I don't command people to do anything, but I like to lift both my hands. It's a sign of my reaching out to God. But however you, and let's sing it again. I will serve thee. Will you? Because I love thee. You have given life to me.
You have given life to me.
And somebody say hallelujah this morning.
Hallelujah.
That was a little weak. Can somebody say hallelujah this morning?
Hallelujah.
It's really true. He has given life to us. He is our life. He is our life. He is the resurrection and the life. And you were worshiping so wholeheartedly. Can we take 3 or 4 minutes to do this, Pastor? I was down there when you were singing before, but up here it really looks good. So would you sing it again? Some of you were stretching out your hands, but whatever. Worship with all your heart, and it's a prayer song, so pray it to Him. I will serve Thee. Churches changed over the years. I've changed. I used to comb my hair, now I arrange it. You know, I things have changed. But I remember when we used to sing a song till we were finished with it. We're not finished with this one yet. I will serve. Will you?
Because I love Thee.
Hallelujah.
You have given life to me. Lord, I was nothing before you found me, and you have given life to me.
Oh my, you're worshiping. Keep singing.
I love you, Lord.
Oh, Somebody shout amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You may be seated if you don't stop worshiping. I want to talk this morning about the sacrament of service. And I'm reading a very familiar portion of Scripture from St. John chapter 13. Let us listen to the Word of God together. Now, before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come, that he should depart out of this world to the Father, having loved his own, he loved them unto the end. And supper being ended, the devil having already put it into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hand, and that he had come from God and was going to God, rose from supper, laid aside his garments, and took a towel and girded himself. And after that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel with which he was girded. Then he came to Simon Peter, and Peter said to him, Lord, are you washing my feet? And Jesus answered and said to him, what I'm doing now you do not understand, but you will know after this. Peter said to him, you shall never wash my feet. And Jesus answered him, if I do not wash you, you have no part with me. Simon Peter said to him, Lord, not my feet also, but also my hands and my head. And Jesus said to him, he who is bathed needs only to wash his feet, but is completely clean. And you are clean, but not all of you. For he knew who would betray him. Therefore he said, you are not all clean. So when he had washed their feet, taken his garments and sat down again, he said to them, do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you say well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, you ought also to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Most assuredly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his Lord, nor he who is sent greater than him who sent it. If my dad were here this morning, he would say, the Lord will add a blessing to his word, and to his name be the praise and the glory. And at the reading of God's word, all the saints said, amen. Somebody said, every job is a self-portrait of the person who does it. So autograph your work with excellence. But in the Christian life, every task is a portrait of the person who lives within us. Let us serve him with excellence. I intentionally entitled my message today using the word sacramental. I know that it signifies a certain thing to sections of the church today. In one of my dictionaries, it says one of the certain ceremonies of the church, especially Eucharist. But having studied Latin for 5 long years in Pembroke Collegiate and Vocational Institute, what a waste of time, I actually found out what this word meant in Latin. It means the same thing as evoking reverence, something that is sacred. And I want us to think this morning that our service for Christ is not duty that we do, but it's a holy service that we render to him. As we contemplate Jesus' act and admonition at the Last Supper, it's my desire to encourage all of us to continually serve with purpose. And if you haven't started serving, to enlist in service, because it is a holy enterprise. Decades ago, we sang a hymn. I was tempted to go to the piano. Mary Lynn said I should, but I didn't want to sing a solo this morning. You can get my CD at the back of the church after for a small donation of $50 or so. But we used to sing this song in the church. I am happy in the service of the King. I am happy, oh, so happy. I have peace and joy that nothing else can bring in the service of the King. In the service of the King, every talent I will bring. I have peace and joy and blessing in the service of the King. I want to talk first of all about the status of service. Serving is a noble occupation and a calling. Serving gets us outside ourselves. Can I repeat that again? Serving gets us outside of ourselves. It saves us from selfishness. Serving gives meaning to our being on this planet in the first place. Serving invests our talents and abilities. And service is the opposite of hoarding. It brings reward. Serving is a blessing. Thank you for all that silence. Serving is a blessing. A little more. Serving is a blessing. Jesus said it was a greater blessing than receiving. It calls to mind our theme today from a synagogue sermon that Paul preached. The words are simple, but the impact is significant. He was speaking of David, and he said in his sermon, "For David, after he had served his own generation by the will of God, fell asleep." The apostle did not mention that he was a great songwriter, although David was. He didn't say that he was a hero, although David was that and more. He didn't mention that David suffered great personal struggles and injustice, although that proved also to be true. He did not mention the great fame that David won for Israel, and not even his humility in storing up a temple for a temple that his son would build. No, he said, well, let's go even farther. Some have overemphasized this, that Paul didn't even say that he got involved in holy dance. But what he did say was that David served his own generation. What was important about him is not often what we say is important, but what the Holy Spirit said through Paul was absolutely true, that he was a servant even though he was a king, and he served his generation. Service is indeed a noble calling. Jesus himself is the supreme example of that. He said in Mark 10:45, "For the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many." The status of service is high in the economy of God. I want to talk about the success of service. Jesus did not ultimately value success by statistics or great accomplishments. He valued success by faithfulness. Say faithfulness after me. Thank you. My father used to walk up and down the prayer room in old 202 Renfrew Street on Sunday nights, and often out of his mouth would come these words, "Remember, saints, God puts the premium on faithfulness." Jesus didn't say, "Well done, you smart, enterprising, or skilled servant." Instead, he said, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." And again, "Whoever can be trusted in little can be trusted in much." Now, I'm sure if I'd have asked you, you're even old enough, Mary Lynn, to have known this hymn. I think you passed your 21st birthday some time ago. Okay, I'm joking. But this is a good hymn. "In the harvest field now white ripened, there's a work for all to do. Hark, the voice of God is calling, to the harvest calling you. Does the place you're called to labor seem so small and little known? It is great if God is in it. It is great if God is in it. It is great if God is in it. He will not forsake his own. When the conflict here is ended and our work on earth is done, he will say, if we are faithful, welcome home, my child, well done. Little is much when God is in it. Labor not for wealth or fame. There's a crown, and you can win it if you'll go in Jesus' name. Pentecostals, we receive spirit baptism so we would have power for service. And that's what the Holy Spirit does through us. The assembly of which my wife, who's now with Jesus, and I have been part of for the last 20 years, does not have a janitor, despite the fact that it's probably a larger auditorium than this one. A group of seniors meet weekly. They clean the toilets. They tidy the stage. They sanitize the kitchen and the nursery. They vacuum the sanctuary floor and the seats. Two of them are deacons. Some of them have come, I don't know. But my point is that God knows they're there. And God records their service because they do it for his. Somebody say amen this morning. Sometimes we think of great preachers, but God thinks of great saints who do what they do, whether they get credit or not. The Bible says that he records our labors of love. Hebrews 6:10, for God is not unjust to forget your labor of love. Many will not be publicly acclaimed, but heaven takes notice. Undoubtedly, they may not be celebrated at some sort of national event, but that's not the big deal, Christians. The big deal is that they were faithful. They were committed. They were devoted to what we think is small stuff, but often what we think is small stuff, God thinks is great stuff, because it comes out of love from a servant heart. Are you with me this morning? Let's talk about the sacrament of service. Service for God is commended as worship in Scripture. It is in this life. Paul says, and I'm quoting the NIV here, therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to present yourselves as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God, which is your spiritual worship. And in the life to come, it's true. In the final chapter of the Revelation, verses chapter 22 and verse 3, one verse reads, at least in the King James, and his servants will serve him, and his name will be in their foreheads. Now, most modern translations translate it this way: his servants shall worship him. Because in the original language, it's just as right to say they will worship as if they will serve. Because when we serve in Jesus' name, it's an act of worship, even more valuable than when we lift our hands in public worship. What makes service sacramental is that its motivation is love. This loving service was demonstrated by Jesus divesting himself of his robes, worn for the Passover feast, and taking a towel and basin to perform the duties of a common slave. Now, I want to correct something here. I've often heard it said that he was washing their feet because they were dirty. No self-respecting Jew would come to a Passover meal with dirty feet. He didn't do this because their feet were dirty. He did it because they needed to understand how much God blesses lowly service. And in the light of this, he says two things to us today. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, you ought also to wash one another's feet. And then he says, a new commandment I gave you, that you love one another as I have loved you. See, the old commandment said you should love your neighbor as yourself, but Jesus bumped that way up. He said we should love like he loved. And that ennobles all of our service as sacramental. And just in case you don't know anything about me, I'm going to start to sing, and it does not mean that the service is over. The greatest thing in all my life is serving you. The greatest thing in all my life is serving you. I want to serve you, Lord. I want to serve you more. The greatest thing in all my life is serving. Once again, the greatest thing in all my life is serving you. The greatest thing in all my life is serving you. I want to serve you more. I want to serve you more. The greatest thing in all my life is serving you. I have so many examples of selfless service that I've observed as a pastor over 6 decades. I think about a woman who attended this church faithfully when I was growing up. Her name was Mabel Wagner, and she was my mother-in-law. What she did for her children and those she loved, she did for Jesus' sake. My wife told me the worst job she hated growing up was carding and washing dirty, stinking sheep wool for her mother to spin. And mother spun socks and mittens. Some of us sitting here wore them. She could have gone downtown and bought them. But she served by love. You say, well, there's nothing religious about that. Yes, there is. Doing the dishes and making the beds and laundry and serving your family because you love them and love the Lord is a sacrifice unto Him. Somebody say amen this morning. We need to get our priorities and our perspective adjusted a little bit about this. Then I think about the time Jonah and I were in Kampala, Uganda. While we were there, an actual insurrection took place, and as the armies, liberating armies came in, we had to actually stop the services for a couple of days. But this was in an auditorium that was really run down, but they had bought it. And there was a woman every day who about 4 o'clock in the afternoon came in. These were leather seats, and she washed every seat in the house, like several hundred. And one day I said to Gary Skinner, Gary, I'm in awe of that woman. Is she your caretaker? He said, no. Her husband is a minister in the Ugandan government. That woman could have hired people to clean all those chairs. But she served because she loved. And she didn't mind that it was humble service. And she didn't mind that she didn't get the credit. I was so moved by that. Then again, when I pastored in Kitchener, Ontario, twice a year we had cleanup days. I didn't know how all-consuming they were, but I got there 5 minutes late and most of my congregation was already busy. But when I drove in the laneway to the church, I saw a woman picking up papers and garbage out of the ravine beside the church. She was the wealthiest woman in our congregation and could have hired all kinds of people to do this. And she could have done something else like dust off the piano, but she was serving God that day. And the garbage was just fine. Are you getting what I'm trying to tell you? Don't let the devil tell you that your service is menial and God doesn't care and it doesn't matter if you do it. If you do it because you love Him and for Him, He blesses it and He receives it as ministry unto Him. Hallelujah for that. I think about Pearl. Pearl's husband was the custodian at our church in Halifax. Pearl was never loud or showy, but I thank God for her every time I think of her. She would be in the foyer. Her ministry was to welcome people. And Pastor, I didn't know a lot of people. Some of them started to come back to the church. If there one of them came, she'd come to my office and introduce me to those people and let me know who they were. She was my right arm. I don't know how many people returned to the house of God because that woman in loving service met them at the door. I think about Jerry, who was my caretaker in Kitchener, who came in one day after he talked to somebody in the building. I happened to be out, but when I came back, he had tears in his eyes. And he said, "You know, Pastor, what I do is a ministry, and today God gave me the opportunity to minister to somebody when you weren't here." Hallelujah. Excuse me, but hallelujah. Thank God for those who minister unto him in whatever way he tells them. I want to tell you again about an usher. There was a large tent meeting being held, and two teenage boys came in, and as is usual, all the Christians were in the back seat. I'm looking at some of your faces. You look like somebody just knocked you in the solar plexus, but it's all right. I'm just glad you're here. I don't care where you're sitting. But these boys were going to leave the tent. They were late for church and didn't want to go way up, and an usher saw them, and he actually went to a couple of people and said, "Would you mind moving up? These two boys need a seat." Do you know who one of those boys was? His name was Billy Graham. What if that usher hadn't seen him or made room for him in the church that morning? I wonder what the story would have been. Service often seems unappreciated. That's no doubt because we're prone to give recognition to those who are visibly successful. However, we may honor great politicians and say they make great speeches, but actually they didn't write them. Some ghostwriter wrote them, and we don't know who he is, but he was willing to be in the background. In the Old Testament, there were hundreds of Levites who never blew a shofar or a silver trumpet. They never wore the ceremonial robes like Aaron. They weren't resplendent in holy attire on feast days. What they did was they looked after and carried and protected the tent of meeting where the Shekinah dwelt. Over 40 years, they packed that up and moved it over and over again. If you read the chapter of the journeys of the children of Israel in the wilderness, literally dozens of times they did this job, and nobody ever noticed except God did because he called them to do it. You see, there's glory even in menial service. There's a well-known painter, and if some of you are into art, you will know the name of Auguste Renoir. He suffered so severely from rheumatism in his hands that he could hardly paint. And one of his friends said to him, "Auguste, why do you keep on painting?" And do you know what he said? "The pain passes, but the beauty endures." Your service may have passed, but it's still beautiful in the eyes and nostrils of God. I want to read you a story. Now, I know adults don't usually have stories read to them. And please, it's not bedtime. Do not go to sleep. You do know, Pastor, that the definition of preaching is the art of speaking to people in their sleep. But I want to read you a story because what you do for God matters. This one was a little more public. It's the story of John D. Rockefeller. He entered business. He drove himself like a slave. At 33, he had his first million. And at 43, by concentrating night and day, he controlled the biggest business in the world of that day, Standard Oil. At 53, he was the world's only billionaire. He was the richest person on earth. To achieve this, he forgot about his health and happiness. He lost his hair and looked like a ghost. He made a million every week, but his digestion got so bad he was only eating crackers and milk. Lacking consideration for others, he lived for big profits. He was so hated by his own men that worked in the oil fields of Pennsylvania that they burned him in effigy. He was protected round the clock by bodyguards. He had no peace and no happiness. As he sought to protect and control his massive wealth, he was being smothered by it. He couldn't sleep and he couldn't eat. When John Dee was 53, a biographer wrote of him, "An awful age was in his face. He was the oldest man I had ever seen. In his skinny body was a restless soul. Newspapers had already written his obituary, and it was ready in their files because he was dying." During one of those long nights when John Dee couldn't sleep, a startling truth dawned on him. He would not be able to take even one thin dime with him when he left this world. Why was he so selfish? A great transformation took place in him. He spent no time in transferring money into blessing for others. Establishing the Rockefeller Foundation, which still exists, he began showering millions on hospitals, universities, mission work, and helping the needy. His money helped discover penicillin. His money saved millions of lives from malaria, TB, and diphtheria. His money rid the southern states of hookworm. The list of worthy causes that he funded is endless. And when he started giving instead of hoarding, a miracle took place in his soul. When he began serving and loving others, God put new vitality into him. His digestion returned to normal. He enjoyed life and lived to be 98. "I will serve thee. I don't wait around to be served. I will serve thee because I love thee. Because in service we grow. In waiting to be served, we diminish." This church has a history of service. I want to tell you a story, and I've told myself I'm not going to cry up here. How many still in this church remember a man by the name of George Coles? Thank you, all six of you, or seven. George Coles was my Sunday school teacher when I was in the intermediate class. He was the worst teacher I ever had. As far as teaching, he just read us the quarterly every Sunday. I could have done it at home. But George Coles loved us as boys. He was the head communist in this town when God saved him. And what he did was what impacted me. Every Christmas morning, no matter how terrible the weather was, he got in his car and visited every student in his class with a gift. And Pastor, when we used to have prayer rooms on Sunday night after church, George was always there. And one night I was praying alone in the prayer room, and I felt this hand go on my shoulder. And in his shaky voice, he prayed like this: "Dear Jesus, I thank you that of all the places Kenny could be, that he's here tonight. Keep him here." That marked my life more than a quarterly full of Sunday school lessons. He was willing to serve. And in my view, he served supremely. He touched my life. And thank God for him and many others who prayed for me. I am still here by the grace of God. I think of the people that I know who chaperone kids at camps from here, who drove young people to conventions where they got their lives changed. I think of those who drove buses and kept them in shape. And I think of Crystal Shiskuski and Francis Coles when I was having a crusade here, who were found in the sanctuary at all hours of the day praying together alone for God to move in this church. And it's my conviction that their prayers are still being answered. Above all others, the sacrifice and humility and selfishness of the scene we have just read about calls us to service, lowly service. In our church a few months ago, we actually held a foot washing service It was to go for an hour, but it went for 3 hours. The power of God moved mightily in that service. But whether you're actually washing feet or not, your attitude should be, I'm honored to be at your feet serving you. That's what Jesus did. There's another hymn, and I don't think I'm going to sing it, that six of us know. We used to sing it a lot. Oh, to be like thee, full of compassion, loving, forgiving, tender and kind, helping the helpless, cheering the fainting, seeking the wandering sinner to find. Oh, to be like thee, lowly in spirit, holy and harmless, patient and brave, meekly enduring cruel reproaches, willing to suffer, others to save. Oh, to be like thee. Oh, to be like thee, blessed Redeemer, pure as thou art. Come in thy sweetness. Come in thy fullness. Stamp thine own image deep on my heart. How many of you would know that hymn? Oh, to be like thee. Oh, to be like thee. Blessed Redeemer, pure as thou art, come in thy sweetness, come in thy sweetness, come in thy fullness, stamp thine own image deep on my. Stand with me and sing it. Oh, to be like, sing it to him. Oh, to be like the blessed Redeemer. Blessed Redeemer. Pure as thou art. Pure as thou art. Come in thy sweetness. Come in thy sweet. Come in thy fullness. Come in thy full. Stamp thine own image.
Stamp thine own image deep on my heart.
This isn't flattery. There's something about this congregation when you start to sing and worship that's beautiful. It's like a cosmetic over you this morning. I'm sure, Pastor, you've witnessed that. Do you want to sing it a couple of more times or hum if you don't know the words? Oh, to be like thee. Oh, to be like thee. Blessed Redeemer.
Blessed Redeemer.
Pure as thou art.
Pure as thou art.
Come in thy sweetness.
Come.
Come in thy fullness.
Come in thy fullness.
Stamp thine own image.
Stamp thine own image deep on my heart.
Keep singing it. You're really rising in worship.
Oh, to be like thee. Oh, to be like. Blessed Redeemer,
pure as thou art.
Pure as thou art.
That's beautiful. That's beautiful.
Come in thy sweet.
Come in thy fullness.
Come in thy fullness.
Stamp thine own image.
Stamp thine own image.
Deep on my heart.
Deep on my heart.
I just want to say something in case you're a visitor here. People are crying right now, but it's all right to cry in a Pentecostal church if it's genuine. So just let the tears flow.
It's just allow the Holy Spirit to continue to speak. Surely He has spoken to all of us this morning through His Word. Allow Him to speak to you specifically this morning. A couple of weeks ago, I reflected on 35 years of ministry. 2 weekends ago was my 35th anniversary, and I don't often post on Facebook milestones and things like that, but I did, and some of you may have read it. But as I look back, I heard some phenomenal sermons over those years, had some great events, but the memories are exactly what Reverend Ken talked about this morning. It was those faithful servants. And I had that same Sunday school teacher, not the same man, but the same service. Man by the name of Cecil Peters. Wasn't a teacher. Would gather us boys as teenagers in a back stairwell in the church because we didn't have any classroom. We'd sit on the steps and he'd read the quarterly. But he showed up every week and as 80 years old prayed for us. I remember my first church as a lead pastor when they were 29 years of age. There were some issues. We were going through a season, just a terrible season of sickness in that church, some small church. Some key people were sick, and I was feeling the pressure. And I remember one Sunday afternoon, we had a prayer time. Just came and prayed. It was just a heaviness over our church. I remember kneeling there at the altar and like, does anyone even care? And a gentleman who never preached a sermon in his life, the most humble spirit man you'd ever meet, I remember him just coming and putting his hand on my shoulder and just whispering, because he didn't want anyone to hear him. He said, Lord, let the pastor know he's not alone. And that act of service. I remember a gentleman in my last church, a board member, and I have a picture I took. He doesn't even know I took the picture. It was a VBS. And a kid who came from the area of town that was known to be the wrong side of the tracks. And I got a picture, the corner of the foyer of the church, of this gentleman, Kevin, tying this boy's shoes. And I took a picture. He doesn't even know I have the picture. That's service. That's service. I know there are people in this church, and I've had the privilege to see it. Servants who show up when nobody else knows. I know he wouldn't want me to mention his name, so I won't, but I came here one morning a few weeks ago, well, maybe a couple of months ago. It was a busy week, and I was behind in my schedule. I came here early on a Saturday morning. Probably before 7 o'clock. I thought, wow, you know, what a hero I am, showing up at the church on a Saturday morning before 7 o'clock to do my sermon. And when I pulled in, someone was already here fixing the flower beds. That's service. That's the people who drive, as Ken said, the chaperones to youth camp, the kids camp, who lose sleep to make sure kids have a privilege to know and attend that camp, to drive the bus and to drive the vans to Ottawa and so on. God bless you. Thank you. What a powerful message. Let's show our appreciation to Ken for that word this morning. You know, on a hot day and you go into air conditioning, that's what I felt like listening to the message this morning. I was being refreshed as I just listened. Please come back again. We're going to pray this morning. You know, the most act of service that many of you do that you don't realize how vital it is you pray. You pray. And I've mentioned needs over this pulpit, and I'll be honest, I've gone and forgotten about them. Then I've gone to a men's prayer meeting on a Wednesday night, and someone says, hey, how is so-and-so doing? And the service, the sacrament of service and prayer So we're going to pray this morning. We want to continue to pray for Kinsley. Pray that as she undergoes her doctor's appointments and therapy, that she will grow to learn to be able to eat and stand and gain strength. So let's continue to remember her. Let's pray for Brother Alan Christie. He's on his way to Ottawa today, having some more blood work and platelet work as he continues in his challenge with leukemia. Let's remember him in prayer. And let's give God thanks. Let's give God thanks this morning for every person that has served this church. And as I was listening to Ken, I thought, 100 years, man, the names of servants. And because of that, we are able to be and have what we have today. In a couple of weeks' time, I want to preach a message to you along that line. I won't go into it this morning, but we have the privilege today to worship in houses that we did not build. We have the privilege to labor, to serve on someone else's shoulders. And God has blessed this church. Let's give Him thanks this morning. Father, thank You so much. Thank You for the reminder this morning of the greatest servant. One who came not to be served, even though He was and is King of Kings, but came to serve, to give His life for others. And so, Lord, stamp that image, as that old hymn reminds us of this morning. Stamp that image. Lord, that image of You as a servant, that image of You giving Your life for many, stamp it on our hearts, Lord. May we serve You faithfully. Lord, we thank You for the many men and women who've served this church over the years, and because of their sacrifice and because of their service, Lord, many whose names we don't even know, but served You faithfully. And God, today we thank You for them. We thank You that they're added to the voices, Lord, that are cheering us on today. And so we continue. And I just pray, Lord, that that attitude of servanthood would be rebirthed within each of us. Lord, that we would be willing to preach the sermon when it needs to be preached, or sing the song that needs to be sung, but to clean the toilet that needs to be cleaned. Lord, to drive the bus that needs to be driven, and so on. Lord, help us to serve You where You've called us. Lord, so that You would receive glory. So we thank You for Your word this morning. We just pray Your blessing upon Brother Ken. Just we thank You, Lord, for his years of service and his continued fruitfulness for Your kingdom. And Lord, now this new chapter of his life, as his wife is now gone to be with You, Lord, I just pray that You would bless him, bring opportunities and bring people into his life, Lord, that he can continue to be effective in ministry for You. So, Lord, we thank You for this morning. We pray Your blessing upon our church family. I pray for those that are here this morning, Lord, who've been told, Lord, that they aren't contributing to Your kingdom, but they really are. Lord, just bless them today. Be with Kinsley. Be with Brother Alan. Lord, as we look forward to very soon just gathering here to celebrate Your goodness to this church, Lord, may it be a morning and may it be a season in which You are glorified and honored, because it's Yours. It's all Yours. And Lord, we are Your humble servants. And so now, Lord, we thank You for this day. Continue to use us as we serve You. In Jesus' name, amen.